there were no other scripture in the Bible than this one, it could cause you to be and to go on a lifetime of the greatest treasure hunt of all time.
Did you say 19 or 119?
19. Mr. Science, would you read the first and second, first four verses, five verses?
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race.
Go. I'm sorry, it's 6:2.
His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof.
Okay. Those six verses, if you understand that it's not talking about, oh, aren't the stars pretty, so that's the glory of God. It says that the heavens expressly reveal the glory of God. The word declare there is just a terrible translation. It should be, it should be like the heavens reveal the entire mystery of God if you have eyes to see. Now, what we're about to study is what I believe was the ancient wisdom of the Babylonians, of the Persians, of the Chinese, of the Hebrews, of the all of the ancient culture, the Medes. There were some in the culture that understood the mystery of the stars. Now, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament. You remember what the firmament is? We think firmament should be firm.
The blackness.
Terra firmament.
The sky. Water.
It's the resistance.
Go to Genesis 1.
The whole
mess of firmament.
Verse 6. Read it.
And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day.
God called the firmament heaven. So the firmament is everything we see. Okay? You don't agree?
Yes. He put the lights in the firmament, though, right? I mean, the stars are, I'm trying to read over the shoulder, the stars are divided the light from the darkness.
Where does it say that?
God saw the light, the light was good. God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day and the darkness he called night.
In the evening and the morning, verse 15, the first day.
But what is the light in the dark?
So that's the light in the firmament of heaven.
Is the light in the dark?
Okay, that's good. And verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years.
And that's what we're going to study.
Right. Yeah. And the word there for signs.
Fishers.
And that's also where he creates
inductive
time,
pictures.
Seasons and days and years, makes time again.
The word signs, it's like, it's parable, or each one of them is a parable or a mystery that tells us the whole. Okay, anyway, first thing we have to do is study the days of the week. Among all the ancient nations, the 7 days of the week were in universal use. Why? Huh? Why shouldn't there be... Why did they separate things into weeks?
4 days.
Why couldn't it be...
Well, you got 365. Day after day. They did figure that out.
There were 30 Saturdays.
There's not many numbers that go into 365.
grow weak
well,
in your weakness.
Well, seven doesn't either.
You're right.
I mean, there's no reason under the sun, except for the mystery, that every culture has 7 days in the week. Each nation named the days of the week, as we still do, after the seven visible satellites in the heavens. They were the, and they, and every nation and every language used those seven visible satellites in the heavens as their vowels, the vowel points. Actually, the five moving stars, which are the planets. So we have what? We have Sun Day, which is the Sun's Day. We have the Moon Day, on Monday. We have Tuvis Day. Tuvis is the Anglo-Saxon name for Mars. We have Woden's Day. Anybody remember who Woden is?
He's got a whip.
Woden is the Mercury, and Mercury's got a whip. We have Thor's Day. Thor is Jupiter. And we have Frigga's Day, or Freya's Day, and Freya is the Scandinavian name for Venus. And we have Saturn's Day, which is Saturday, which is the most sacred of the 7 days, because it's the day of rest. Now, we'll get into why that's true. But that's why we have these days of the week. Sunday, Moon Day, Tuvis Day, Woden's Day, Thor's Day, Frigga's Day, and Saturn Day. Now, the order of those days is interesting, because again, they could have been in any order.
You could change them every week.
You could have, you know, the week began with Frigga's Day or something. But the order is not that of the distance, the velocity, or the brilliancy of the stars or the planets. The first day does not always begin or coincide among the nations, but the succession is always the same. Succession of those from Sun, Moon, Mars, Mercury, Jupiter, Venus, and Saturn. Now, I'm always amazed at stuff like this because they didn't have any...
Was it like an eternal memo or something?
Yeah, they didn't get a memo.
In the beginning was Tuesday.
Yeah.
God saw Tuesday.
God
saw
Tuesday. It was good.
Saturday night special.
You know, the people in New Guinea didn't communicate with the people in Sweden. But yet, somehow, they all ended up with the same mystery.
Don't you have to assume that because the calendar is older than that, it's when they were one people in one place?
Yeah, well, I think we can prove to you that it all came from Seth. It was all the knowledge that was retained through Noah and his family and came down from...
So they did something while they were sitting in the ark.
Now, because the Book of Enoch was quoted in the New Testament,
they couldn't see this.
We know that there was writing before the flood.
But were the stars and planets visible prior to Noah, even with the massive amount of water we have in the atmosphere?
No. That's why only the holy men who had risen above the cloud saw the mystery. There were only certain mountains that were above that cloud layer. Do y'all know that it, before the flood, it had never rained, and there was a thick layer of clouds around the whole earth, and so the whole earth was a greenhouse. And that's why man lived for those incredible ages. Number one, because there was no ultraviolet light from the sun that got through the clouds. And the second one is because it was the greenhouse effect, and everything was available, and you know, you didn't, there was, anxiety was lessened. So the, because of the lack of anxiety and the lack of the ultraviolet rays, that's why they live for those incredible ages.
And we know this from the Midrash. Is that the one that Steph put?
The Bible says it too.
The Bible says it too.
Which was the one that the oral?
That's the Talmud.
Talmud's the one. The oral law.
So so there were not Monday, Tuesday, and all that in the garden. And there was after the flood. So somewhere in there it came in.
I'm sure it came in at the fall.
At the fall.
When they named the names. Before that, they didn't need the awareness of it. You were just aware.
There was no awareness of time.
There was no awareness of the passage of time. Okay. Now, if we believe the fact, if we believe that Christ in the New Testament has the book of Enoch for a reason, and it was there, then Enoch must have known how to write. It was writing before the flood. Now, all known primitive alphabets had the same number of letters. Including the seven vowels. And all began with ABC and ended with STU. This was ancient. How?
That would make it hard to have one without a W.
Anyway, all right. Let's look at some stuff about the signs and the seasons. Now, let me say this first. So you've heard me say this before, but what man has done with the mystery can best be revealed really in three things. If we're right, and I think we can build a huge case for it, that it's what we're going to teach over the next few months is right, that then the original meaning of the stars, of the signs of the zodiac, was to reveal this mystery, the glory of God, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that the purpose of man was to be transfigured. But what happened? The first thing that happened, happened in Babylon. They left the original glory and began to use the meaning of the stars as a way to predict what was going to happen to the nation. Then they left the nation and began to predict what was going to happen to the king. And now they left that, and it's what's going to happen to you as a self-seeking individual. So we see the fall, the denigration, from the mystery of God that the heavens are declaring the glory of, down to the asininity of these individual horoscopes today. You understand? Okay. The same thing happened with the pyramid. The pyramid revealed in its glory the mystery of the universe in the same way the stars did. What happens? It came down then to be the something of the ancients thought that the pyramid of Giza was the mystery that revealed the fate of Egypt. And now it's again, now today people are building pyramids to keep their razors sharp and their something else hard. And it's the ultimate degeneration of the mystery. Now the same is true with the alphabet. The purpose of all alphabets was initially to show this mystery. The consonants with the moving vowel points to show the mystery of the universe. But now it's denigrated, now that all language and writing is used as an instrument of your individual self-realization. So slowly but surely, over the passage of time, the silver nitrate has been painted on the back of the glass. So you no longer see the mystery, you see a reflection of you in all of these ancient mysteries. There really hasn't been progress or evolution, there's been devolution. And that's what we hope to show. Now, we just read in Genesis 1:14, it says, it's talking about the stars or the lights in the heavens, and it says, let them be for signs and for seasons. The word sign in the Hebrew is the word othoth. It's a terrible word. Othoth. O-T-H-O-T-H. And it means that which is to come, that which is to be manifested. It's like, it's the same word that you would use for a treasure map. A treasure map is a sign. Okay? Now let's go to Jeremiah 10. I feel like doing this thing that Gene Scott does.
You don't get money, you ain't teaching.
But what he does is if he detects any sloth, he stops. I'm tempted to. I mean, I can't tell you how. It's impossible for me to tell you the years and years of study that it took to find this stuff. And just speaking as a human being, I don't think, I mean, forgetting me in the equation, I don't think that you can put a price on the value of this teaching. I don't know of any other place in the universe where you can find these things. And whether they're true or not, you have to decide for yourself. But what drives me up a fucking tree is the feeling that you are taking it for granted. That somehow, you know, you'd be just as happy being in a Baptist church or hearing another sermon on the Great Commission. And I'm not saying this to beg the question, to try to get you to say, oh no, I do want your attention. And if you don't have, if you can't give your attention, then don't try to act like you're being attentive. I mean, I want you to imagine for 12 years, almost night and day, I studied. I don't have the chance to study that much anymore, but please don't take it lightly. That's all I ask. Okay? Because that's what will infuriate me. All right. Jeremiah 10. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. And it goes on down to the idea of all of the idolatry. We're going to see in a minute where it says that when Messiah is come, that the lights of the heavens, the sun and the moon and the stars will no longer give their light. And so everybody in all of Christianity that's a fundamentalist believes that there's going to be something that transpires where the stars and the moon and the sun aren't going to give their light, so you can't see them. Don't you understand? They can't see them now. They're not giving the light of revelation today. You understand that your mind does not want this light of revelation? There's a component within you that knows that the more and more you see of this mystery, the less and less that you will have as a justification for self-seeking. I mean, there's a part of you that doesn't want to know this shit. Well, go to battle with that. Or decide whether, you know, I mean, which way are you going to go? I mean, I'm not convinced that you want to go through this. This is going to be intense for several months.
Well, I've been dying for this to get back in this day.
Jeez. Okay. I guess I'm saying convince me.
Well, when you were speaking, it took me back to the experience I had when, you know, I was fighting with Mike, saying that this was a terrible place, blah, 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 blah. And the experience I had at our kitchen table was if God took, and I was sitting across from Mike, but all of a sudden I didn't see him. What I saw were, it was like my life and layers were being pulled back, like pages of a book, and then all of a sudden there was nothing there. And when I realized that it was dark and empty and that I was alone, I became frightened. In that instant, I saw Christ. And I knew at that moment I did not have to be afraid of coming here. And the idea of studying that takes me back to that point, that remembrance.
Good.
This for me ties in more of everyday living, you know, with what, who we are and what we're about than other things that we study. And I don't know why, but it does, or it feels more.
For me, it's a little bit like a lifelong search to get here. This is the stuff that I spend my life mulling this over all the time. So this is fantastic for me.
I talked to my mother this morning on the phone. I was talking to her about Christmas, because she wanted to know if her children had a Christmas tree. That was what started it. And I was telling her that what the children do is they study the pagan meaning and origins of Christmas. And I talked about it for a while. And then I hung up and turned the page of the paper, and here's this article about the celebration of Saturnalia that they're going to have at White Rock Lake. And we're sitting there, you and I are sitting there at Nick's, and you're reading this thing there about Saturnalia. And I'm remembering that a few weeks ago, at the table next to us was this woman that was covered with tattoos and silver things stuck through her tongue and her nose and her ears and her cheeks and stuff.
Wow.
And I saw her on network TV, and it's this big feature about scarification and tattoos and all this bullshit. And I remember what I said to my mother this morning, which was, it's exactly the same as it was 4,500 years ago. Nothing has changed. Nothing is going to change. And she's going, I didn't know that. And I said to her, of course you didn't know it. Nobody knows it. Nobody wants to know it. The world would end. And and I thought earlier about the thing you said about doubling. Years ago you talked about doubling. That the things that are doubled of those that don't appear. Something like, I don't know what it is. That time and space is a fabric that's folded over and over and over. And people wander around now with a horoscope and tattoos and all this horseshit, and they wonder, what's going on in the world? Why is this happening? Why is my life falling apart? It has no meaning. Of course it has no meaning. Lights are out.
When I was, I'm sure all of you did it, when I was your little child, when you become aware of the especially in the desert, when you become aware of the stars in the desert, there's no experience like it, because it makes everything else seem insignificant.
That's one of the favorite things I like to do in class and when we're on the trips and stuff, is just take the kids to where there's nothing but stars, darkness on the ground, and just tell them about all these things that make them so insignificant, and it just puts it all in such an unbelievable perspective.
Yeah, I laid on my back at the beach in the Hawaiian Islands, like on Molokai where there's no light, or down in the Caribbean near the equator, just lay on the beach at night with no light and look up and just be immersed in those things.
Well, when we went on the kids' school trip two trips ago, we went to McDonald Observatory near the Guadalupes, and they have... Yeah, they don't allow any building around there, and if they do build, then you have to put covers over all of the lights so that there's no light pollution. That was the most magnificent, incredible, beautiful thing I've ever seen, was that night sky. You don't know how many billions upon billions upon billions of stars are, because you can't see them anymore because of all the light.
And it's the light that man has kindled that is darkening the true light. But even, let's assume the best case. Let's assume that you're at McDonald Observatory, or you're up in the Hubble telescope, and you look and you see this mass of brilliance of stars and lights. What you see is a mass of brilliance of stars and lights. You can't possibly, without the mystery, it makes sense. You can't, there's no story being told except some kind of a generalized thing. But the mystery is that you can find out why time and space exist from watching the stars. You can find out that the stars are an equal witness of the revelation of God as the Bible is. And that's awesome.